This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. So that's where we're going to go next. That last bit Sabrina was talking about, the intersection of social problems and economic disadvantage and what can be done. What can government do? Because we've tried this before, the government has. We've gotten Kimberly Johnson on the phone. She is a professor of social and cultural analysis at New York University. Dr. Johnson, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So as I said in that introduction, there will be calls for and need for investment in some of these cities that have been damaged. The American government has tried this before, right? Give me the highlights, would you?
Sure. I mean, I think there's been many decades of investment in urban areas, ranging from, say, the 1950s and 1960s, which really focused on direct investment in people and places, so direct subsidies, to kind of the 1970s, particularly in the 1980s and 1990s, where we shifted away from direct spending to indirect spending like tax expenditures and tax credits. So that's where we are right now, is that much of our sort of investment in poor areas is via these indirect mechanisms of tax credits.
Right. And those are the empowerment zones, they were called in the Clinton administration, the opportunity zones in the 2017 tax bill. Here's the question, though. Does what we're doing now, these tax incentives, does it work?
It's very mixed. I think that to the extent that they can work, they are places where there's a lot of close collaboration between investors, local governments, community groups that really are focused on what works best for a particular community. Where it doesn't necessarily work is where something is built on the assumption that if we build it, people or businesses will come, and then that doesn't quite happen.
Yeah, Field of Dreams was a great movie, but maybe not so much in real life. Let me ask you this, though. If the results are mixed and that's widely known, why do we keep doing this? Why don't we try another way? And what would that way be that might be better?
I think we do this largely because of inertia. Other policy people call them zombie policies. They are politically attractive to both Democrats and Republicans. It also doesn't require a lot of upfront government money, which is key. So it's not that a natural bureaucrat or government official is pocketing money. It could be that, you know, a business took the money and then later we find out 5 years later, oh, they didn't really do what they were supposed to do with it. So I think there's a lot of ways in which these programs are attractive to politicians because they can kind of kick any potential problems or costs kind of down the road.
So what's your gut telling you, Professor Johnson? I mean, this is a series of protests and actions by people on the ground that we haven't seen in 50 years.
Absolutely.
Does your gut tell you it might be different or no?
I think that, you know, it's this 1-2 punch. The shutdown really revealed, I think, the vulnerability that many families found themselves in. I think the statistic came out last year that many American families had about $400 cash on hand. And if you live in a place like New York City or San Francisco, that $400 was like a week's worth of rent. And so I think one of the issues looking forward is that people have to feel that they're safe, that they have a future, that they have hope. And I think having these incidents with the police on top of economic and I think sort of real emotional distress of what we've been going through. I mean, this has been a hard month or two for many people. And then it's this. It's kind of the last straw in some ways.
Kimberly Johnson is a professor of social and cultural analysis at New York University. She does urban politics, as I said. Professor Johnson, thanks for your time, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.